The 2018 South African Customer Satisfaction Index for Airlines is out, and it shows a varied performance by domestic airlines on different counts. So, for example, one of its findings is that low-cost domestic airlines are still leading the charge when it comes to meeting the needs of the South African consumer. Well, to take us through the index, I'm joined on the line by Ineke Prinsloo. She's Client Consult Advisory from Consulta. Thanks very much for joining us, Ineke. So I was surprised to learn from the background that you gave about the airline industry, about the contribution that it makes to GDP and also in terms of jobs. Just give the listener some context in this regard.
In terms of the contribution to the economy in South Africa, airlines play an extremely important role. It contributes significantly to our GDP, and I think there's also contribution or secondary contribution in terms of the tourism. And we all know that these sectors are extremely important as growth triggers and growth points for South Africa's economy. So it's certainly, if we look at all of the reports that has been released from IATA, it's actually very interesting to look at the passenger figures and the influx of passengers that our airlines are bringing into South Africa. So quite a significant contributor to our GDP.
So the South African Customer Satisfaction Index for airlines shows mixed performances on different issues, but the airline that trumped overall was Fly Safair, scoring 78 points out of 100. What have they been doing to win this accolade?
So I think for Safair, if we look at the index, Safair certainly did extremely well in all points of the index, but they are not the outright leader in terms of the index. If we look at the SACSI score, the index score, Safair certainly has invested really a lot of time and effort, what we've seen over the last couple of years, in terms of getting customer experience right. Mm. There are a new entrant in the market. We know that some predecessors, Velvet Sky and NetOne, have not survived. And it's really around how I think Safair took the lessons from those airlines that have not been successful, and they've successfully turned that around in terms of the total focus on customer experience in the industry. From the time that you do your booking right through to the gates and check in, it is a seamless experience, and consumers have given us that feedback in the index that they really experience Safair as customer-centered and focused on the needs of customers. So I think they're certainly getting it right.
So broadly, how did the other airlines, you know, that you look at, how did they fare?
If we look at this broadly, because this is an international index and we are the license holders in African continent, we have the benefit of comparing our local airlines to airlines in the rest of the world. So we truly think of this broadly. Our airlines actually compares quite well to airlines in other parts of the world. There wasn't a clear, as I said, there wasn't a clear leader in the industry, and there have been mixed successes in terms of all the elements of the survey for some of the airlines. In general, Safair has done extremely well. Expectations of British Airways, it's a premium brand, consumers have high expectations of them, and they fared quite well on the index. Mango has also had mixed results, and then ultimately SAA has trailed most of the airlines in all of the elements of the survey. Mm. So mixed results. Some doing better than others, but SAA is certainly trailing all of the brands on all of the elements in the index.
The price of flights is a big deal. What did customers have to say about that and the perceived value that comes with it with the various airlines?
Yeah, that's certainly a question I've received in over the last couple of days. And ticket prices are, of course, important to consumers that are quite cash-strapped. But what we've seen in the index, because we test price tolerance as part of loyalty in the index, and interestingly enough, there's a little bit of tolerance to price increases, which I'm not saying is carte blanche to airlines to now go and increase prices, but there's relative tolerance. The biggest concern or feedback that we got from consumers was really this gap to quality. So I'm paying a certain price, and then if I consider the quality of what I received, I'm not 100% convinced that that's what I've paid for is what I'm getting.
Yes.
And really the focus here is a very important one, and it's around reliability. So consumers are saying, you know, if we think about the element of reliability, it's about, you know, this product that I'm buying or the service, does it work the way I thought it's going to work? Now, for airlines, reliability is a little bit more. It's the element of safety, which should be a hygiene factor, but also on-time departure and on-time arrival. And those have been highlighted as concerns for all of the airlines. And that certainly to us shows a flag, a red flag that the industry needs to address. Wider than just being concerned that the ticket prices are too expensive. It's about what I'm paying for and I'm making sure that it speaks to my needs and it's reliable.
Mm. Look, you touched on SAA. We know that it's very topical at the moment, what with its financial woes and the strike that's been going on. So they came, they basically were the laggard, scoring 68.8 points out of 100. What did you find were their strengths and weaknesses? They've got to have some strengths.
They did have some strengths. Interestingly enough, the expectations of consumers, so what they're expecting of the SAA brand is completely in line with the other airlines in the industry. So consumers have a very high expectation, but in all of the other elements, as you rightly point out, SAA has lagged behind. So they do have that benefit of realizing consumers still hold the brand in high regard, certainly when we did this survey.
Yes.
But I would like to make the comment here, and I don't want to venture, it's not our mandate to venture into that fray, but what I thought about on Friday evening, I spoke to ENCA on this, but we ran out of time, I couldn't make the comment. But now I saw it played out in the last couple of days, is that if we look at the element of loyalty, customers, and we have all of this media reports, we see this very public display in terms of all the stakeholders involved in SAA at the moment.
Yes.
But I would urge them to take a step back and think about, consumers see this. A couple of months ago, we had the whole focus on the technical, the grounding of the planes and the technical difficulties.
Yes.
Consumers see this. It creates uncertainty. And the moment that's uncertainty, that one thing that we have that consumers expect from us, we suddenly fall out of their consideration set.
Hmm.
So my concern for stakeholders, whether on which side you are of the fence of the current things playing out, is that maybe we just should consider that we're gambling with our most valuable asset, and that's our customers. If our customers start getting uncertain and our customers start abandoning us and we're starting to lose loyalty, that is going to be very, very difficult to regain.
Hmm, that's a very heavy point that you expressed there. So despite air transport being relatively expensive for the traveler, especially when you think that it can cost more, you know, to visit an African country than going to Europe, it sounds like the African aviation industry is not really profitable. Why do you think that's the case?
I think the African aviation industry, like South Africa, is grappling with constrained economies that are emerging economies that is struggling to reach those growth targets. And then specifically for airlines, you know, it's about running fuel efficient fleets. It's about getting cost efficiencies and an extremely competitive industry. Their load factors is very, very tight and their profit margins are very tight. And you've seen this from some of the feedback that we got and some of the reports in terms of the profitability. The airlines are not profitable. We're looking at figures of minus $400 million in 2018, minus $300 million in 2019, collectively for airlines in Africa in terms of not being profitable. So there's certainly a real challenge for African airlines to get the balance right in terms of what is the terminology in the industry, the load factors, the amount of passengers per plane that we have, and serving the routes that customers are expecting, and not really getting that balance right yet in a constrained economy on the whole of the continent.
That was Ineke Prinsloo. She's Client Consult Advisory at Consulta.